Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us again on this, what's been a very windy day today here in Massachusetts. And I so appreciate your taking the time whenever you listen, whether you're listening live or listening to the stream or the podcast, to make us a part of your life. It makes it very exciting for me to know there are people all over the place listening at all different times. So we're going to have some fun tonight with our guest, Marie Anderson Whitehurst, who has started out as a therapist and has gone in some fascinating directions. So I'm really looking forward to hearing her story. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And what a surprise, I'm going to talk about walkabout, which I do frequently. And partly because I'm still in contact with Roxanne, who we just checked in with on her walkabout, which started in Bali, and she's now in Australia. And I'm constantly chatting with her, talking with her on Facebook, and we give each other a hard time, which is delightful, because I get to hear the story as it's unfolding. And I've come to believe that in some way, life is either a series of walkabouts or an ongoing walkabout, if you're paying attention, if you realize the transitions and the challenges and what's happening. And tomorrow my daughter comes home having completed her freshman year at college. How did that even happen? When did all those years pass? I'm very proud of her. And in thinking about that, I'm remembering the first day of preschool, which was her first walkabout, and being out of the house for the whole day and with other people and doing other things. And then I remember her standing on the street waiting for the bus for the first day of kindergarten. And the many, many, many different things that she's done as she's gone out into the world with school, with friends, with all the other things. And now she's on her own at college. And each one of those in its own way is a walkabout with new lessons and new challenges. And, you know, my walkabout is that she's not here anymore. So my life also changed. If you look at life as a walkabout and you look at the structure of walkabout, which is making a decision to go out and learn about yourself by putting yourself in a new environment without all the support that you've had in the past, coming into all those challenges with the sense that you will be guided, you will get the information you need when you need it, people will be there to support you, that things will work. And what happens is when you go out with that idea and start doing it, you find out it really does work. If you spend your life looking at the transitions as a walkabout instead of, oh man, look at this. Now I got to do this, and all of this is going to change. And how many people have heard that lately or said it to themselves? Instead of what we called in my old neighborhood kvetching, or in some other neighborhood would be telling your whiny ass story, you can look at the challenges that you're facing at the new phases in your life as walkabout, and enter them gracefully and intentionally and say, oh, and here we are. And what would Spirit have me do now? Which is, after all, what shamanic work is about, is standing in the middle of chaos and confusion and uncertainty and just saying, and what would you have me do now? Of course, there's usually a conversation when you get told what to do that goes, really? That's going to work? Is it going to hurt much? Which is the part of shamanic work that every once in a while we get to talk about on the show, but not that frequently. So I encourage you to enjoy your walkabout, because most of us, whether we're paying attention or not, are on walkabout. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to hear yet another person's story, and I'm really looking forward to it. Marie, you with us?
Yes.
Marie Anderson Whitehurst is my guest, and you've made an interesting transition, and I know some other people that have done their version of that transition, which is you started out as a psychiatric social worker, at least that's what we used to call them, doing therapy with people, and then started moving into a whole range of other modalities, what might be called alternative, but in my world is just all the other stuff that we do. So I'm looking forward to hearing about how that happened in your life.
Okay. Well, growing up, when somebody died, a pet or a family member, my mom always said, don't worry, you're going to see him again in heaven. So I always thought that life went on. And so pretty early on, I was reading Ruth Montgomery, Shirley MacLaine, Ralph Moody, Edgar Cayce, and then I sort of stopped exploring for a while as I got married and started a work career. And I started off working in a welfare department and then in the prison system. And I was a personnel manager and a store detective and lots of different walkabouts.
Store detective sounds interesting.
Yeah. And eventually, because of a sexual assault that I had, and I wanted to learn about why that happened and how that happened, I ended up as a rape victim advocate and then became in charge of the crisis lines for rape, child abuse, and domestic violence. And then I went and worked in a psychiatric hospital and a community mental health center. And I was good enough at my job that they were all encouraging me to go back to school and get a graduate degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that at the age of 37. So when I graduated, then, you know, I was ready to go to work and those kinds of things, but I was of an age at 40 when I graduated that, you know, there must be more to life than what I'm seeing. And at that point, I can't remember what books I started reading next, but Michelle Small Wright about nature spirits and behaving as if the God in all life mattered. And I wasn't so sure about God, but I could really understand angels. And then I took a class. It was a two-year class, like one weekend a month for 2 years in Peruvian shamanism. And I didn't know anything about anything. And so he taught us about crystals and about energy and different kinds of chanting and the four directions and the unseen world and the lower world and the middle world and the upper world and, you know, all the things you learn about. And so it was just fascinating to me. And then I got into crystals because of that. And that happened. My husband hurt his back moving a friend of mine's massage table. And
How ironic.
Really. And so I said, well, let me try something. And I took an amethyst pendant I had, and I put it on his back and put my hands on the stone, and with intention and attention, sent God's love to him. And my hands got hot, and the rock got hot, and his back got hot, and the pain went away. And I said, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he did what I call a stupid man thing, and he was moving a 450-pound safe by himself, being a locksmith. And he pulled the muscles, snapped the muscles at his belt line.
Ow.
And then he did the second stupid man thing, which was drill the safe for 2.5 hours after that injury. And so by the time I got home about 10:30 at night, he was on the couch and in great pain. And I said, well, let me try something. And so that time I took some green fluoride and put it on his back and sent him love and intention and attention. And the pain didn't go away immediately, but he was able to go to sleep. But when he woke up at 7:30 in the morning, all the pain was gone. And there'd been no aspirin, no chiropractor, nothing like that. And so I said, must be something to this. And then I started studying. So I didn't know about Reiki or anything at the time.
Right.
So Reiki was probably the first real formal type training I got. So it's gone on from there. Now,
well,
I own
you,
a crystal.
You already had the training with the shaman, so you did have context and background. And,
I did. But it really was flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah, well,
I had enough.
That's being a shaman.
There you go. There you go.
What am I supposed to do now? What have I
That's
seen?
Right.
Oh, well, let's see if this worked. Yeah. Yeah. As someone said, there's not much difference between the handyman and the medicine man. You know, it's.
Well, there you go.
Both groups have to do tinkering.
Yes.
So I know that you do a wide array of things with your clients at this point, including the crystal work and Reiki, but what all did you get into?
Well, even before I got my graduate degree, I was trained in hypnosis. I took a year-long class in therapeutic hypnosis, and I wasn't able to really do anything with it because I didn't have a graduate degree, but because it had been so useful in my own therapy, I was really fascinated with it. And then when I became a social worker and I could do something with it, then I started incorporating that into my practice. And then I got more interested in past life regression and life between life regression.
Mm-hmm.
And the power that those could have, having read Brian Weiss. And I had an opportunity to study with Dr. Weiss up at the Omega Institute for 5 days and said, ooh, this sounds good. Let's go do this. So I did. And so I've enjoyed that work very much. I have been interested in all sorts of energy work. So when EFT came out of the thought field therapy field, I studied EFT.
And which is the emotional freedom technique.
Freedom technique, tapping on acupuncture points.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one using the chakra system. It used to be called CMORG. But now it's called AIT, which stands for Advanced Integrative Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's using the chakra system in very much the same way. And it's such elegant work and is so useful. And just recently, the tapping or EFT has been approved by the American Psychological Association after 12 years of really diligent double-blind studies.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So that's now great. Psychotherapists can get continuing education units for doing these kinds of things.
Right, and it's legitimate to include it in a therapy session. So
yes.
That's great.
And along the way, I got a certificate in clinical aromatherapy. Again, it was something that I was interested in and want to incorporate in my life because I've always tried to do natural holistic healing things, herbs and eating right and that kind of stuff. So that fit right in and works well with lots of different kinds of anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. So lots of different things that have all woven themselves together.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, I have this image of, you know, a client sitting there with you doing hypnosis with crystals on them with aroma therapy stuff happening and, you know, all of it going on at the same time, which is probably not what happens.
Probably not. most of my clients are more mainstream. Mm-hmm. I still a medical model of psychotherapy and... So there are lots of crystals in the room as well as plants, and there is aromatherapy going, but it's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a normal, whatever that is, a normal counseling session and, you know, work in the normal ways that you'd recognize as counseling or psychotherapeutic interventions. And then for those that are really interested, I can branch out in some of the other ways. You know, some people want angel readings, some people want Reiki, and of course I have to say, all right, now the counselor hat comes off and this other hat goes on. You know, all that. But more and more people are wanting to incorporate their spiritual growth into their life and want to know how to do that, you know, how to put their spirituality into practice every day.
Have you noticed that accelerating in the last year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this has been a very intense year, especially for people that are sensitive, but you know, everybody is getting, you know, my image is we're all getting Reiki 24/7, but most people have no idea it's happening.
Right.
And so people are having spiritual and emotional shifts and they have no idea why. And then they're looking for answers for it. And some of the answers are literally cosmic. You know, it's
yes.
got to do with solar flares and mm-hmm. cosmic wind and where the earthquakes are that day.
Yep. And there are some people that just would not accept that explanation no matter what.
Right. Right.
But there are others who, you know, I notice are, oh, you're having this kind of issue. You know, I think that you might be one of those highly sensitive people. Let's talk about that for a minute. And then they feel more free to open up about what might be really going on.
Right.
When we talk about, you know, when I say there is energy and, you know, I bet you when you walk into a room, you can really feel it. They go, oh, yeah. So it's cool when somebody, they're a little hesitant to talk to a medical professional about woo-woo stuff and then they find out it's okay.
I haven't heard the term woo-woo in a while.
Is that dating me?
Well, I don't know if it's dating you. I used to use it and it was used about me, so
there you go. Now we wear it proudly.
We definitely were, Bradley. I remember being in a group setting and the leader, somebody asked a question and the leader looked at me and said, David, you're our woo-woo. What would you say to this person?
Right.
When I gave them an answer they really didn't expect. Well, we're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes, and I want to be sure that people know how to find you. Okay. Which is, and the usual easy way to do that is your website.
Okay. That's www.marieanderson with an SEN-Whitehurst, WHITEHURST.
And it's, I've been to your site and it's got lots and lots of information and lots of resources there. So I encourage people to head over there.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes and we will be back and pick up our story where we left off. And I want to hear more about both how the shamanic training affected you and the stuff that you do with crystals, because crystals were one of the first modalities that I worked with. And one of the shamans that I worked with was well-known as the Crystal Grandfather.
Oh, cool.
So I'm curious what you were taught along the way and what kinds of work you've been able to integrate into the other stuff that you do, besides things like hiding a crystal under the chair that people are sitting in.
Right. Oh, you caught me.
How did I know?
Right? Yeah, really.
I used to sell huge crystals for the medicine man that I was studying with because he didn't have any way to contact people, and I knew white people with money. And I was living in a camper, and I had 250 pounds of huge crystals under the bunk that I slept over.
Sleeping, doesn't it?
It was amazing. And you know, I opened the door to the camper to show somebody where I lived, and they look inside and go, "Whoa, what's going on?" 'Cause most people, you know, have no idea what the power, especially of large crystals, is.
Right.
And even folks who think they're not sensitive will be affected by them.
Yep.
So we will come back to that in just a minute. So we're going to go to our break. We will be back shortly, unless we, of course, get taller. And
small, medium, at large, right?
Exactly. I'm an extra large. And I can see we can have fun with this stuff, too.
There you go.
So this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files with my guest Marie Anderson Whitehurst, and we will be back in just a minute. Don't go nowhere.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake. We're in danger! Good idea, Sassy! Go get Mr. Gunderson! You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States? It's getting close, Sassy! Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment, and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Marie Anderson Whitehurst. And we've been listening to some wonderful stories about your path through all of this. And as I was saying, as we left for the break, I'm really curious to hear about what you learned and how you learned it when it came to crystals, because that's something that I spent a lot of time with in learning what I learned.
Well, I started off reading books, of which there are now many, but there didn't used to be that many.
Right.
Started off with Katrina Raphael and Jane Andow. And then when I went out to the Owen Melody's book, and when I went out to Tucson for the first time, Tucson's where the world's largest gem and mineral club is, mm-hmm, the show is, I met Melody, and we had a really nice connection, and I said, she was teaching classes, and I said, I'd really like to take some. So I took her level one and level two class, and you learn all sorts of good stuff in that. and then she decided that she was going to teach a level three class for people who could, so that they could teach it and she could teach overseas more. And she basically left the United States to us for the training, and she'd teach overseas. And so I was one of 33 chosen to do that, which I felt was a great honor. And then you just continue by practicing and seeing what comes up and talking to other folks. And so
it's how we all learn all of this. So what kinds of things did she talk about in those level one and two classes?
Well, we talked about how to unhook cords as opposed to cutting cords.
Mm-hmm.
She is, uses a faden, which is a type of quartz. Are you familiar with a faden?
That's not one I've heard of, no.
They're usually tabbies, and they have a gas line running through it.
Huh.
And they're good for attuning to folks and also good for telepathic transfer. And one of the things we had to do was, the first night of class is tape it to the base of our spine with the gas line running up our spine and sleep with it that way. wonderful experiences come out of that.
Indeed.
For me, it felt like my cerebral spinal fluid was chugging all night long, chugging up and chugging down, and chugging up and chugging down. So it was an interesting evening.
Did people have Kundalini experiences from?
They didn't describe that, but there were lots of dreams. There was lots of, you know, some people felt it was the best sleep they'd gotten in months. Other people were sort of wired. Other people had all their back pain go away.
Right.
All sorts of interesting things happened. One of the things that she very much believes in is getting rid of self-limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some techniques for how to do that. So we, you know, the nice thing about trainings is you get to practice on each other. And so you get to practice getting rid of self-limiting beliefs and her ways of doing that, using the Faden and crystal layouts and some visualizations, shamanic types of things. We took a journey through the body. We did some forgiveness exercises. And, so it was just a wonderful time. And, of course, spending time with rock people, swapping stories is always fun.
Right.
So 4 days of that was terrific.
I have a similar experience at the American Society of Dowsers.
So you know Raymond Grace.
I know Raymond, yes. And I haven't been there in a few years because I had some health issues, but I'm usually the guy that does the ghost talk.
Okay.
And occasionally they let me talk about something else, but I usually do my ghost talk. And it's always the conversations over lunch or dinner sitting around where someone just has a throwaway line and says, and then I did, you know, blah, blah, whatever it is they've been doing for 40 years that to them is no big deal. And I go, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah,
that's a piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, it's back up to the beginning and tell me what's behind that and how you think about that and how you do that. You know, so we spend 15 minutes doing that and I go, oh, there's this whole piece to the picture that I didn't know about that's become clear now.
Yes.
So that gathering with other people that are tinkering, experimenting, doing the work, finding new stuff, talking to people you don't have access to, is an important part of all this stuff.
Yes. Now, if you're interested, Raymond's coming to my workshop space in June for a 3-day class.
Terrific.
The third day is everything he's learned since October. I will give you more information about that if you're interested. But anyway, in June.
Terrific.
You're local. Yeah.
Raymond's a character. He's an interesting guy to talk to.
A very wise man.
Very wise man. And gets all of what he has to say down to the most basic, simple explanation and principles.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And he's been a huge teacher of mine, as well as the Peruvian shaman, and I did Munai Ki and Nusta Karpai, that are both Peruvian traditions. Raymond has been a huge teacher, and I've heard him at least 20 times, and I'll sponsor him whenever I can. I just love listening to him.
Yeah, one of his books, if I recall the title correctly, is What Works for Me.
Right, yes. Very.
Which I just love.
And the other is, I think, It's Your Life, So Do Something About It.
Right. Right. Yeah, and he frequently says, so you're waiting for permission from somebody.
Yep.
Who do you think's going to give you permission?
That's right.
Give yourself permission. Yeah, he's wonderful getting people past all the things that they tell themselves as reasons not to do things.
Yes.
So the crystal work that I did with my teacher was more with, you know, hand crystals, you know, large quartz points, mm-hmm. And using them in some ways the way the Harry Potter folks would think of a wand.
Right.
As a way to increase the power of what you were already doing, increase the intention.
Right.
Behind what was going on, or put something in it, put a thought form and intention in it, and let it do the work for you. But one of the things that I was told over and over and over again was anything you can do with a crystal, you can do without a crystal, and they're basically a teaching aid to convince you that you can do this stuff.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, yes, indeed, they're wonderful tools, and the point is for you to learn that you can do these things,
yes,
with or without the tools.
And I think that, you know, there was a machine, a QXCR or some QXCI.
Yeah, that's close to right, QXCR,
something
I think.
Something like that. And I really wanted one of those machines.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my teachers in the world, who may not even recognize himself as that, said, Marie, you can do all that without the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay, I guess I can. So how cool is that?
It is an amazing machine, and for people who are sitting there going, what are they talking about? It's a computer program on a laptop with some sensors that connect to your body, and through the sensors and whatever else it's doing, it can do some very comprehensive readings of body systems and all kinds of stuff, and then do treatments, which I found amazing.
Yeah,
that somebody had figured it out. And I was hooked up to one, when was it? Probably 2006 or so, when I was up in Toronto. And I said, now, wait a minute. Before you do the treatment, let me do what I do to do a clearing on myself. And let's see if the readings change.
Uh-huh.
And the people that use the machine went, no, that never works. We've had other people blah, blah, you know. I was like, well, humor me.
Right.
So I spent the couple of minutes doing the clearing stuff I did and said, okay, do the scan again. And they were sitting there with their jaws dropped that the numbers changed,
mm-hmm.
that there were effects to it. So I still wanted them to do the treatment and see what that felt like and how it continued to change. But it was a confirmation that what they were doing works and what I was doing works. And the fact that you could test it with the machine was, you know, marvelous.
Yes.
But nobody was ever able to explain what in the world the machine did.
Right.
And how it did it, which to the geeky side of me was really annoying. And I think that was partly because the people who were taught how to use it really didn't have that background information. They didn't know
the
technical
side. They were just an operator.
Yeah, they just had been taught how to use it and were getting good results with it, and they'd go back to whoever it was that was setting it up, or they'd get sent new software, whatever the thing was, and it would get upgraded. But they never tinkered with it, and they didn't understand what was behind it.
Right.
And I'm too geeky for that. I got to know.
Well,
I used to be a shop teacher. I got to tinker
with it.
You can't
explain, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't there lots of things you can't explain that you just have the faith, okay, this is going to happen? I mean,
well,
whether it's the quantum field or the zero-point field or...
I have no problem with that when it's being done with intention and consciousness. When somebody has a laptop sitting there hooked up
right.
to my body,
right?
I have an interest in knowing what's going on. How are they able to do this? And part of that is it means that they came up with a technology to read energy that's not electromagnetic, which is the issue with all of this stuff. We don't have a way of reading it because we don't have we can't measure it because there's no technology that works in that, however this energy works. Mm-hmm. And they were getting readings. So I was like, well, how do you do this? and if you have figured this out, tell lots of people because there's more work to do. But I couldn't get answers at the time anyway.
Gone by the wayside.
Well, I heard that was somebody else who did something similar that, of course, was supposed to be better. But yeah, it seems to have gone by the wayside. And part of it was very expensive.
Yes.
So it was a very large investment for the practitioners, and you can only charge so much for any treatment. Right. And so it just wasn't a very good business. And that's the problem with so many of these things. It's all well and good that you can get results. The question is, how do you support yourself? What's the model for doing it in such a way that the people you're doing it with are getting the results and feel happy with what they're paying you and you get enough money?
Yep.
Which is why everybody does workshops.
Right.
Because it's both exhausting to do a gazillion sessions with people, and there's only so much you can charge for things.
Yeah.
The complications of this as part of the, in quotation marks, real world in the 21st century. Right. You know, I always tell people, you know, people say, you shouldn't charge for this. This is spiritual work. You know, it's like, well, there isn't really anybody who does spiritual work that doesn't get paid or have their expenses paid.
Right.
So if you're a monk and you're in a monastery, you have no expenses. Everything's handled by the monastery. And if you're a priest, you're given a house and your expenses are paid. And you have a car and whatever else. So there is a way that people are getting compensated typically for all of that stuff. And the tradition, the tribal traditions, whether it's, you know, shamanism or medicine people in Native American tradition, was that whoever did that work was taken care of so that they could do the work.
That's right.
So you didn't go to war. You didn't go hunting and gathering. You didn't do all of that stuff. Your job was to tend to all the needs that could only be done by a person with your skills and knowledge. And right now, for me to do that for somebody who lives on the other side of the United States or the other side of the world, it's hard for them to cook me a chicken and bring it over.
Right.
So I use PayPal. And it's, you know, isn't it wonderful that we have all these ways of communicating so we can do all of this stuff and I can work with people in Australia?
That's right.
Which, for a lot of people, creeps them out. How can you possibly do that? Yeah, well.
Yeah. No time or space.
Exactly. Exactly. When you shift your consciousness from the material particle aspect of quantum physics to the energy aspect of quantum physics or mysticism, there is no time and space because it's a function of mass. And
yep.
You're outside of the realm of mass. And I'm still amused that physics doesn't yet have a good explanation for why mass exists. Which means they can tell you how time, space, and gravity work, sort of, but not what causes mass, which causes all of those.
Yep.
I love that. They hate that I love that, but I love that. So we have a few more minutes. What would you like to leave our listeners with? What's the nugget, the kernel of information and learning that you want to leave people with?
Well, Well, I guess there's one more piece of my walkabout that's been really important to me, and that's the cancer journey. The good news is that I've come through the other side, but it really was a wake-up call for where the rubber hits the road. Are you going to put your spiritual beliefs to work for you, and all your health beliefs and everything else? So it was a real eye-opening journey, and it was one of many lessons, and I walked through it with gratitude, which was the biggest healing agent, I think, for me. Mm-hmm. And so for me, love and gratitude is just a huge piece of what I do and what I try to teach people. So I guess if I wanted to leave them with anything, it would be grateful for everything, from the pillow you sleep on to having hot and cold running water to the food you have to eat and clean air and clean water. And we have so much to be grateful for, even when things aren't going well.
Exactly. One of the things I often say is everybody should live in a third world military dictatorship for at least a few weeks.
There you go.
Just to get perspective.
Yep. Travel is very broadening.
Yes.
When you get to see how other folks live.
Yeah. Yes, I spent several months in Haiti when it was still a military dictatorship. And
I was in Grenada before and after it was invaded.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and so I have some idea of what it's like to have 16-year-olds on the street in military uniforms and automatic weapons and not feeling safe to talk about anything in your home. And it's very interesting.
So there is so much for us to be grateful for, and there are so many people that manage to be paranoid and angry about things that are not actually happening to them.
Yep.
Which takes them out of gratitude, which then causes all kinds of chaos in their lives and all kinds of illnesses. So,
I think that one of our greatest challenges is how to be aware of all the things that are going on around you in the quote-unquote real world and still mm-hmm. be open-hearted and come from a place of love and gratitude.
Yes. Instead of going off, running into the woods, screaming with your hair on fire.
Yep. Or being bitter and nasty and negative.
Right.
Yep.
Right. It is how it is, and our greatest influence on it is our consciousness and our ability to bring love and gratitude into all of that.
Yep.
So, yes, indeed. Well, my dear, we have filled up a wonderful hour.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. And give people your website again.
www.marieanderson with an S-E-N dash Whitehurst.
With a U.
.com. Yes.
Whitehurst with a U.
Yep.
Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and your incredible story. And, you know, at each one of those turns in the story, I would have loved to have spent 20 minutes just hearing the rest of the story, because you've done so much and experienced so much. And
we'll talk again, David, I bet you.
I know that somebody who has done all of that and is in the place that you are brings incredible gifts to the people that you work with. So thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. And thank you for what you do.
Yeah, well, we can pat each other on the back, ethereally here.
We like that.
All right, my guest has been Marie Anderson Whitehurst, psychotherapist and healer of many, many different modalities, and obviously shaman, although she probably would never say that about herself. And I am so glad we got to spend some time with her. Thank you so much, Marie.
Thank you.
So if you're at all curious about what this odd guy David does, you can get more information about that at househealing.com. And in spite of the confusing name, I also work with people and businesses and situations and all manner of things. You can go to the contact page and find every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including my scheduling calendar, so that you can make a phone appointment, because I do a 20-minute free consultation and assessment of what's going on with whatever's happening and see if my work can be helpful to you. So please take advantage of that. If you're looking for more information about this show and the archive for the show, you'll find that cleverly at thefarkasfiles.com. And the archive for however many years I've been doing this, I've lost count, is there. In addition, you can find us on iTunes podcasts, on iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other streaming radio channels around. So there are lots of places that you can listen to the show, and I hope you'll listen to not just mine, but the other shows on Empower Radio, because there are some wonderful, wonderful people doing wonderful shows with wonderful interviews. So take advantage of that. And thank you so much for listening and for sharing the show with other people, which is how our reach expands. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.